nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Because you are the reason why everybody is here. So can you celebrate yourself? Praise the Lord. I'm speaking to us on the crucified life. I know that we'll all be blessed in Jesus' name. Alright, let's go into our text, the crucified life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Okay, I'll be reading from the book. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I read it again. I say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that brings us to one question. Now, the crucified life. You see, maybe a life, the crucified life. You see, I have already been crucified with Christ. So, that brings us to the question of who lives inside of your body. You have a body, I have a body. Who lives inside of the body? You say, I am crucified with Christ. You say, I am dead with Christ. You know, yet not I, but Christ is living inside of me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who lives inside. When God made man, he made the body of man. He made the body of man, he breathed into man, and that breath formed the spirit of man. And that spirit of man was also supposed to house what? To further house his spirit. And don't forget, before that time, there had been trouble in heaven. There had been rebellion in heaven. We had the God and his angels. But then we have Satan and his fallen spirit. So God formed the body of man. God formed the body of man. When he formed that body of man, he breathed into man. And that breath formed the spirit of man. And that spirit ought to be a tabernacle to house somebody. That's what Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless I live, but somebody else lives inside of me. Christ lives inside of me. Praise the Lord. He said, Christ in me, who? The hope of glory. Who lives inside of this body? Who lives inside? In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, Eve. The Bible says, Eve knew Adam. We can call it up. I'll be calling the scripture, call it up. Eve knew. You see, Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she began to conceive a son. And beckoned and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. He said, this came from God. But call up 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. 1 John. He said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. But look at what 1 John will tell us. It will give us a different account. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Alright, the next verse. You see, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Why did he slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother righteous. The woman Eve got a baby boy. He said, I have gotten a man shy from God. But the Bible tells us that he was from the evil one. He was of the wicked one. And he was a murderer. Because his father was who? Who is the murderer? They say he's been a murderer from the beginning. That's Satan. That's what Jesus said. So he was carrying the genetic code of the murderer inside of him. They have gotten a man from the Lord, but yet the Bible says he was of that wicked one. Do you know why? Because of the person that was living inside. The murderer was living inside. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to establish something and I'll go further into the message. Now look at Matthew chapter 13. The first, okay, call up verse. Let me get the verse. Verse 37. When Jesus said that somebody went to sow on a field, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. He now explained the meaning of the parable. parable. So I want you to begin to understand and begin to fathom out your identity, who you are. It's all about the person that lives inside. The person that lives inside. Okay. He answered and said unto them, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The next verse. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares, they are whose children? They are whose children? They are the children of the wicked one. This is not by birds. I will show you. I will show how we make the switch between the two. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Please continue. The enemy that sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. So when you see human beings, see everybody gather here. Some are children of God. And some are from the evil one. They may not even know it. Just like Judas. He said he was a son of perdition. He felt he was being smart. He kept the money. But as far as God is concerned, the one that lives inside of you, he said, to whom you yield your body. In Romans 6. He said, to whom you yield your body, you are a servant to that person. Whether it's to sin unto death, or to righteousness, or unto holiness and unto life. To who you subject this body. I'm going to bring out something about the body. I'm just building. We'll get into it. Now, he said, the enemy that sold them is, yes, he directly planted people in this world. You like God has sons in this world. So that's why he went, he hung himself. When he saw what was happening to Christ, it was too late. So it's a choice every one of us make. Everyone, Romans, I'll show us and I'll go and explain the mystery of the human body. Go to Romans 6. Please don't sleep. Just follow. I will not think too long. Oh, 30 more minutes. So, are you in Romans 6? Okay, please, I read. Okay, call up verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. You present your member. It's not your parent that determines whether you are a child of God or you are a child of the evil one. You determine it. Both of them stands at the door and the knock. So to whom you open the gates to, that one becomes your father. Okay, please, let's read. He said, for sin shall not have dominion, verse 14, over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, your body to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. Can you see where your responsibility is coming in? But verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So the things that we are hearing today, and you've been hearing in this camp, you've been hearing in the past, those of us that have not submitted to those things, those of us that have not yielded to it, there's a golden opportunity today. Okay? Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Praise the Lord. Now, I told you that God formed the body of man. But let's even go back to the eternal past. Say, before God formed man, before you read the account of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, you all know that God existed before. God existed before then. You also know that the spirits have also rebelled. You know, Satan, he carried one third of the angels in heaven. Sin was already in the world. Sin was already introduced into the creation and even into the heavens. So when God made man, God gave man a body. Praise the Lord. And if you know the Genesis and the basis of the rebellion of Satan, he said, I will be like who? He said, I will be like the Moses. He said, I will ascend on high. He said he wants to ascend to where God is seated. I don't forget that there have been angelic quarrel. There has been an angelic quarrel before before Genesis, before the creation of man. So I want to take you, give you a little story. So now there has been an angelic quarrel, and sin has already been introduced into the world. Say iniquity was found in his heart. So even in the heaven, sin has already been introduced. But when God made man and made that world, sin was not in that world. There was no sin in the world of man prior to Genesis 3. So God kept it away from sin. You know. So let me now go back. So they had already quarreled. So when God created man and formed the body of man, I say he breathed into man and formed the human spirit to live in that body. That body was an earthen vessel. So I said they wanted to ascend, and look at it, they wanted to ascend to where God was, but God from his high heaven, from his height, was seeking to descend. God formed the body out of the dust of the ground. He formed the body of man out of the dust of the ground, not just to put man there, but the body that he himself was going to live inside. Because the Bible said in Romans 5:14 that Adam was a type, was a picture of the one who was coming. God ultimately was coming to live in that body. And how did he form that body? Now look, I say, I will ascend and be like the Most High. Pride that made them to fall. So to settle angelic quarrels, some of them are not so sure. Is it God that is God? Is it? And all of them, some of the angels follow Satan, even the ones that are dead, they were not doubting. But I want you to explain something. Now, God now went to form the body of man, a body that he himself will ultimately live inside. The Bible said the word became flesh and did what? And dwell amongst men. Now that body, he said he put the spirit of man in that earthen body he formed in Genesis 2:7. But ultimately God himself was coming to live in that body. Adam was only a forerunner to the one who was coming. Now that body, how did God form that body? He made that body from what? From what? He made that body from dust. That's another serious revelation. From the dust of the ground. If men want to build a house where they will stay, they use stones, Abby. They use gravel, they use granite. What economic importance is dust? God picked the least thing to form the tabernacle, the body that he himself is going to live on. While they were seeking to ascend, God was seeking to descend. Praise the Lord. He formed, he said, the dust of the world. What is of economic importance to dust? The Spirit of God made contact with what? With the dust of the earth. And he formed it into the body. Praise the Lord. That's a Genesis 2:7. Hope you help me to call it up. You call up Genesis 3:19. Call, please note it. I'm showing those scriptures. Genesis 3:19. You call up. We say we have this 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this glory in earthen vessel, you know, earthen body. But out of the earth, we have gold. We have diamonds. We have. We have stones. God picked dust. It was dust. He used. You know. I say of what economic importance is dust. But yeah, that is what God used to form the tabernacle that himself was going to live inside. So while they were ascending, God was doing what? What did I say? God himself was descending. Can see the humility that God has. And that body was for a purpose. You know? That body was for a purpose. That body eternally solved the sin problem. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That body eternally solved the sin problem. I'm showing you the body that you have. Jesus has a very great assignment. So great was his assignment on the work of redemption. I say angels have rebelled. And I say the word of man, like a ball, was separated from evil. Don't forget that Satan is the wise one. The Bible called in Ezekiel 28:12, it's full of wisdom. Please call up those scriptures. You know, I have just 45 minutes and I have to lay this foundation. Ezekiel 28:12, yes, please check it. He said he was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So God separated that world from the world of evil. But don't forget, when God formed man, God gave man a body. That body was not visible. Praise the Lord. In the day that God made man, the body was not visible because God clothed the man with his glory. Praise the Lord. So God clothed the man with his glory. I even doubted if because it's not categorically stated in the Bible, but if you can imply it. Even the body that God gave them, this mortal body, God formed the body, he put the spirit in man, and himself clothed man with his glory. Even the body was not visible. How do I know that? Because the day they sinned, they looked at them and they said they were naked. So the road to see their nakedness, the visibility of that body was through death. Because seeing death, then they could not see it. They saw they were naked. And they sick because they never saw it before. Because God clothed it. And it's not like this your clothes. Now I am naked. This clothes is covering it. If I remove it, you see my nakedness. But the garment they were wearing was not that which they could remove. It was only sin that could remove it. So before they sinned, they could not see. So when they sinned, they saw that naked. God created that body. So when they now became naked, they saw the naked and God covered them. Now that body was for something. That's what I'm coming to. Praise the Lord. That body was for something. God kept that body. Why did God create that body in the first place? It was not perfect. It was not imperfect. It was in between. Because God said that he saw what everything he had done, it was good. It was not perfect. Why? It was not perfect because it could be corrupted. It was still subject to corruption. If you go this way, the body will be preserved. But if you turn this way, it will be corrupted. So it was not perfect, it was good. So God had a definite and has an eternal purpose for that body. Praise the Lord. So I will now use the life of Christ to explain that body now. Now, when Jesus was coming to the world to solve the issue of redemption, the sin problem, the angelic rebellion, everything, how was he going to do that work? How was he going to do it? The work of redemption. That everybody that will be born, presently we have about 6 billion people, if I'm correct. Then it is estimated about 20 billion people have lived in this world alone. Just men. Just men. And don't forget that it was in Christ that God eternally judged and condemned those spirits. That's why I said that the intent that the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So even in man, God judged the angels. That's why I say that you will judge angels. If you read it in Corinthians. So now that body that God gave Jesus. So how was Jesus was going to fulfill his assignment? And I want to tell you that if Jesus had not moved from point A, Jesus was born. If Jesus had not moved from point A, maybe to point B, he would have still completed the work of redemption. Do you know where he was going to do it? Jesus was going to do it in his body. The great work of redemption was going to be fulfilled in his body. Everything that Jesus did, everything he did, there was nothing from the outside. Everything was from what? Everything was for the body. That's why I say when he came into, they will say sacrifice and offering. Moses introduced offering and sacrifice. He said sacrifice and offering you will not. He said but a body you prepare for me. I'll show you briefly the mystery of the human. He said a body. That's Hebrews 10:5. He said, a body you prepared for me. Praise the Lord. And it was in that body. I think Jesus had not moved from point A to point B. You will have fulfilled the work of redemption. Because the work will be done in his body. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at the Bible. Please call up the body. Now in his body, we have his body. Okay. The work of reconciliation, reconciling man to God. How did he do it? Colossians chapter 1 verse 21. Please call it up. How did Jesus redeem us to God? He appeared in this world. How was he going to redeem us back to God? I want to show you quickly. We're going to run through it. Okay. Now he said, and you, verse 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes separated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. Where did he reconcile man? Please, I want to hear your voice. Where did he reconcile man? Yet now had he reconciled. Where? Call it verse 22. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and reprovable in his sight. Men brought laws, they brought commandments, they brought judgment, they brought words. But Jesus came, he said, I have a body. A body hast thou prepared for me. He said, I have come to do your will, O God. Praise the Lord. This is the great work of reconciliation, to settle the quarrel between man and God, between man, men and God. He did it in the body of his flesh. Example number one. Number two, the issue of sin. Please open to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 12 and 14. Verse 12, jump to verse 14. How did he solve the issue of sin? Everything Jesus did, I want to show that nothing was outside of his body. He said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He offered one sacrifice for sin. Verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. What was that offering? What was that offering? What was that offering? I want to show you the path to power. Yes, to pass the path to a life, a victorious and a glorious life with God. Amen. Now, that is the body, the broken body of Jesus, right? Now, let's look at how did he make peace on earth? Go to Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. Colossians 1 verse 20. We skip that one. We'll read 21 and 22 the other time. How did he make peace? He said, having made peace. How did he make peace? Having made peace. Through what? I'm not hearing your voice. Having made peace. Through what? Through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. Jesus only needed to have preserved his body and he fulfilled the work of redemption. May God give us understanding. Say, Jesus only needed to have preserved his body and he fulfilled the great work of redemption. Okay. Now, how he made peace on earth. Okay. Now, redemption is different from reconciliation. You know, when two people are quarreling, you settle them, right? Forget the past. Forget. Let's come together. But restoration is what? Getting the fullness back. Amen. So how did he do the work of redemption? Let's look at it again. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Please, before 7 to 10. Okay. Okay. I still have like 17 minutes. So, Revelation chapter 5 verse 7 to 10. And he came. That said, there was a book. Nobody was worthy to open that book. He said, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were what? What qualified Jesus to take that book from the hand of the Father? Angels were there, nobody could take it. He said, because you were slain. Because you were slain, for thou were slain and hast redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue and people and nation. Everything that Jesus needed to do was in his body. Okay, now we've seen that. Okay, let's see. Everything that God lost, almost God almost lost everything when man sinned, lost everything. When the angel sinned, God could still manage it. God could still manage it, judge them, take them to somewhere, you know, reserve, God reserved them in chains on darkness, you know, onto the lake of fire. The lake of fire has not yet been opened. They have just been reserved onto the lake of fire. So when they say God put them in chains of darkness, in chains of darkness, they are still living, but no more light. They are living in darkness. They are living in death. They also call them dead spirit, death. So now God lost everything, but how did God get everything back? That's why when Satan tempted Jesus, what did he say? All the kingdom of this world and their glory has been given to me. I have the keys of this life. If you read Revelation 1, Jesus introduced himself after the cross, after resurrection and ascension. He said, I'm he that holds the keys of life and the keys of death. And that, I wonder if he could have made that statement when he was still in the flesh before the cross. He said, and this, no, this is not the place. Revelations 5, verse 11 to 12. You see, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. This is what Hebrews 10:22 called innumerable company of angels. There is no word to describe them. He said tens, he saw tens of tens and thousands of thousands. He said, saying with a loud voice, what were angels celebrating? He said, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was. He was slain to receive what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Everything came back to God because Jesus was slain. I want to show you that everything was the body. This body that you carry. This body, in God's estimation, it is value high. God esteemed me more than the body of angels. Because, yes, what would the body of angels do for him? This body, I say, it solved the quarrel of angels, spirits. And it also solved between God and his man. Okay. And it solved it forever. Okay, Revelations 1:5. Revelations 1:5. How will you say? And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. He said, unto him that loved us. Where did he wash us? And washed us from our sin. Where? What if that blood was defiled when Jesus was 18? Huh? If that blood was defiled when he was 18, I leave us to answer that question. Okay, I want us to see the how he made a new man. Okay, go to open Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Don't forget, I'll come back to my message, the message you gave me, the crucified life. I'll tie it all together. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Okay, Ephesians, okay, if not, open it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Okay, it's open. Okay. Having abolished, please go back to like 2-3 verses up. Verse 11. Let's read from 11. I'll be fast. Therefore, remember that you, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, are what? We are brought near to God, what? By the blood of Christ. Okay, continue. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. 15. Having abolished, where did he abolish the enmity? Having abolished the in his flesh, the in his flesh, he abolished it in his body. What a great Jesus we have. What a great Messiah we have. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in other ordinances. When Satan wrote those ordinances, he thought he could never be rooted again. When he made man sin, he knew he in his thinking and in his wisdom, in his perverted and corrupted wisdom, he thought that there was nothing God can do again. He said, that is the end. They went and they began drinking champagne in hell. While they were taking the glass in their mouth, he said, the seed of the woman, which is the one who is to come, the Christ. He said, he will crush your head, but you only bruise his heels. He said, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, and he that is in Christ, a new person. Can you see? Can you see the process? To make in himself of two one new man, so making what? So making what? Peace. Okay. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 to 9, Hebrews 10, 9 to 10 now. I want to give us sufficient example. How did he sanctify us and make us holy? How he sanctified us and made us holy. He said, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Now, verse 5, he has said that a body you prepare for me. Verse 9, he said, then said he, behold, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, everything that men have been doing. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. Now say, all that came before me are thieves and robbers. They could not answer, they could not answer to the problem of mankind. He said, by the which will we are sanctified, we are made whole, we are perfected through the offering of what? Through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. Praise the Lord. So let me tie it together. Now, I cannot tie it together without calling up Hebrews 10, 19. Hebrews 10, 19. 19, so just call up 19. He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. This is the boldness to approach God. After the fall, men could no longer approach God. That's why anytime God appears, if you notice what happens, anytime God appears to man, instead of they fall down, Ezekiel said he collapsed. And he took me by the strand of my hair. Even John in Revelation, that had been with Jesus on earth, when he saw they glorified Jesus, he said, in Revelation, I fell down like one that was dead. Man had no capacity, even if God said, come, but there was no capacity to approach. Praise the Lord. There was no inner strength, even capacity to walk to where God is. Praise the Lord. So we understand what Jesus had done. There was no capacity to walk to where God, even if God said, come. Praise the Lord. So now, that's why I see all of them. I gave you those examples. I'll just move forward now. Therefore, having bred them, boldness to come into the holiest of all. We come into his very being, into his very essence. We come into the divine nature to carve the nature that God has. He said, by what? By what? So the blood gives us inner capacity to move to God, inner capacity to draw near. That is the blood. Then the next verse. He said, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say what? So his blood gives us the boldness and give us the boldness to access. But the broken body of Jesus was opened the way, the new and the living way. It was opened by the broken body of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now, I come back to my teaching. When God made the word of man, I say like a bird, sin was not in that word. I say Satan was wisdom, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And he saw that inside of man, right? Inside of man, he saw that body. He saw that body. I say it was not perfect. It was imperfect. It was in between. I don't know where it was, but it was in between. Satan saw it. And Satan went and appealed to that body. Praise the Lord. And that body opened the doorway to death and brought us to where we are today. He now appealed to that body. He said, has God said Genesis 3? You know, has God said he assessed man to what? To his body, to his flesh. He said, has God said you should not eat this thing? That you know you'll be wise. And say, when the woman saw that it was good for food, and that which is desirable to make one wise, she took it and ate it. The same thing when he met the Christ, he tried to assess Jesus through his body. He said, after 40 days, Jesus was hungry. He said, if thou be what? The Son of God, command these stones to become what? Bread. So it is the same body that opened the doorway to death. It's that same body that God used to open the doorway to life. That is the body, I say what? He assessed Adam through his body. He said the flesh. He couldn't. Satan is not powerful. That's why they call him the deceiver. He deceived. He said the Satan deceived me. When it comes to power, he could not have confronted Adam. But with just a wave of his finger, Adam will send him into hell. With just a breath from Adam. With just a breath from Adam, I don't know where he will be found. But that's why he now decided to hide himself. You see, the serpent was more subtle. He was more deceptive. He now came on the ground of deception. Satan will not confront you with power. He will confront you with deception. Yes, even now that you are in Christ. So he now appealed to that body. That same body that opened the doorway to death. I say it was that same body that Jesus is a body has now prepared for me. That same body he used to open the doorway to life. Praise the Lord. As many as believe will have what? Eternal life. And open the gates of heaven. The same way, the same platform, the same place, the same instrument that shut the gates of heaven was the same instrument that God used to open it. And that is the human body. That is the body that you and I, you have the privilege to have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he assessed him to the body and I said, God, Jesus himself said, the body you prepare for me. And Jesus gave us now access to the same body. So this is the body that you and I have the privilege to have. Now, can you not be surprised now? So the greatest offering you can offer to God, let me show you ministry. Ministry is to present this body to God, holy, blameless, and acceptable in his sight. He said, I beg you, I beseech you by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable word service, holy, unblameable, unreproachable before God. Not before men. Men will reproach it, but God will not reproach it. Men tell us that there are people that are not perfect. But I stand to tell you, based on the authority of the word of God, there are people that are living right now that they are perfect. God said, have you considered my servant Job? There is nobody like him, he is perfect. He told Solomon, if you will be perfect like David, your father is perfect. Like David, your father is perfect. You are the one that mentioned Uriah. In God's own genealogy, it is not there because the blood deletes sin. It deleted. Praise the Lord. It deleted, not only in the realm of men, even in the heaven. Please call up Hebrews 9:23. Let me show you. Even the heavenly thing, Jesus cleansed them by his blood. He said the pattern of things in heaven were purified by the blood of bull and animal. But the heavenly things themselves were perfected and cleansed by better sacrifices, which is the blood of the Lamb. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven, the pattern of things, that the things on earth, should be purified with this. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. Even the heavens were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Who wonder, angels, all of them, myriads and innumerable company of angels. All they see the Lamb that was slain. They talking about the body of his death and the blood of his cross. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, so there are people that what? I stand faultless before the throne. In read Revelation 14, is that I'm not open that, it's not part of my message, but it's just by way of it I said it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There was this man that said, he was just 29 years. He's a man that blessed the body of Christ so much. Robert Murray McCain. McCain. financial machine, Robert Muriam, he said, the greatest need, he was a pastor, he said, the greatest need of my people is my personal holiness. He was a pastor. When he ministered, testimonies are born. He said, people start crying because of the holiness of the preacher. It's not a message of holiness. The do's and the don'ts. Do this. Don't do that, but there's death inside. There is death inside. Who can't walk in love? Who can't walk in mercy? You know? But when he's pushing, later people now got to understand it. When he made that golden statement, that has been a blessing to the body of Christ. See, the greatest need of my people is my what? It's my personal holiness. It's not drumming activities. Moving from mountains to hill. Praise the Lord. So what am I saying in essence? Now, the crucified life. I say the person that is living on the inside. So this was what Jesus did. So when man sinned, that body was corrupted. That body was corrupted. Satan corrupted the body. So when Jesus now came by his sacrifice and the work of redemption. The Bible says we are now crucified in Christ. They say Jesus is the last Adam. The first Adam was made out of the earth. That's 1 Corinthians 15 verse 47. You see, the first Adam was of the earth. He was made from dust. But the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. So when the body became corrupted, that is the life that you know. A life of fornication, adultery, all kind of sin, rebellion to God. That became the life of man. But now in Christ, when Christ now rose from the dead, he gave us the privilege and the power to what? To live a new life. So that somebody else will live inside the same body. Now, when man sins, Satan begins to live inside that body. By the work of Jesus, he chased them away. And now Jesus himself can live inside of you. He said, do not depart from Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That the Holy Ghost will come and tabernacle. He will take a permanent residence in your body. He said, then you can go out to do the work of the ministry. I say, it is who is living inside this body. So God made a blessed provision. He said the Holy Ghost will be received as many that receive Christ. As many that are in Christ is a new creature, is a new person. God literally, the same body does not shame, but God literally in a figure gives you another body. He gives you another body. He said who have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. That other body after the fall, man's sin, everything you know is sin, is darkness. That body of the flesh is darkness. You say we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. So if you live in the flesh, you are living in darkness. In the kingdom of darkness. Praise the Lord. He said, but what? Okay, that's Colossians chapter 1, 13, 14. He said, we have been translated from the kingdom of what? Of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Praise the Lord. So when God formed that 18th vessel, I said, God put a spirit inside man. And that spirit was the house what? Spirit. That God himself will live inside that spirit. So when man sinned, the spirit died. He said, in the day you eat this thing, you die. The spirit died. So the body woke up. They saw that they were naked. The body began to live. The body began to live. That's what happened. That's why I say flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. The kingdom of God. So the body began to live. But in Christ, the order is now reversed. Now our now spirit has now been awakened. He said, I'll give you a new spirit and I'll put a new heart within you. So with that new spirit, God now expects us to start living from that spirit. Because that spirit yield and respond to God. The Bible says to be carnally minded is dead. That the carnal mind cannot please God, neither can he serve him. So if you live in the flesh, praise the Lord. I know after I have just limited time, so I can't go into the detail of the message, but I'll just give a general overview. And I know the other meetings you have, and some things some of you already know, and the Holy Ghost also is there to take over. So, the spirit of man, God now give man a new heart and a new spirit and expect that man to yield and to respond to the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to tidy off the message, the crucified life. The crucified life is a dead life. I say in Christ we died. That body of death. That's why Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? He said, I myself want to serve God, but in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In my, please call us Romans chapter 7 verse 8. He said, in my flesh, verse 7 verse 18, in my flesh what? Dwell no good thing. The flesh is dead. Dwell no good thing. Praise God. He said, who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 8, Romans 8, 1 says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So you can see that body. So you live outside of that body. So the crucified life, you are now going to live outside of your flesh. You are going to live in the spirit. You are going to live the life of the spirit. A life be yielded and obedient to God. Amen. And that life will make you invisible to Satan. Yes, Satan cannot crash your car on the road. God has said that with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And so it will be. So it makes you, I say it makes you invisible to Satan. Adam was invisible to Satan until he ate of the tree of death and of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of death. Adam was invisible to Satan. Even Christ himself was invisible to Satan. That's why he tried to assess him through his flesh. When Jesus will come in, they will start screaming, "Son of man, will you want to kill us before our time?" They couldn't touch him. Even when they take him to the mountain, they want to throw him down the mountain, he will come down and walk through the midst of them. Amen. So if you want to live a life of victory, a life of power, you are going to live a crucified life. A life that is dead. Is dead to this world. And a life that is alive to God. A life that is abandoned to God. A life that makes you invisible to Satan, invisible to all the hosts of spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But it makes you visible to God, it makes you visible to angels, and it makes you visible to divine strength. Praise the Lord. It makes you visible. They can see you. Angels can see you. God himself can see you. You are guaranteed the protection of angels. Praise the Lord. You are guaranteed. That is the divine path to life. You cannot be happy while you live in this flesh. In this flesh there is fear. Is it fear? Is it strife, quarrel? All of that. So you know the fruit of the flesh. All those things are in the flesh. So if you want to have joy on earth, if you want to have joy on earth, you must live outside of your body. You must live in the spirit. You must live the life of the spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I go back to the beginning. You have a golden opportunity here. I brought my message to a close, and I want to make this final appeal. I want to give us an opportunity. Don't assume, don't presume. He said, by their mouth they confess that they know me, but in their works they deny me. Saying, who is your father? Whose father are you? It's not by mouth. It's not because you came out some times ago to answer that, "Jesus, I give you my life." If your life is not bearing fruit worthy of repentance, praise the Lord, you are yet not of God. And that's why they say, thank God you have obeyed from the heart, that teaching, that doctrine, that word that you had. Praise the Lord. There are two people that knock at your door. Who you open the door to determine who you become is son. Can you be on your feet? Can you begin to talk to your father? I want to give us an opportunity. I want to pray for two set of people. You want to give your life to Christ? I was not a Christian, but let me not name where I was because of this environment. I was not a Christian. I was from the other side, and I made that positive, that powerful decision. How can you be ashamed of this God? You hear, you are not yet born again. You have not given your life to Christ. All of these things, you are a stranger to these things. Yes, I was in the university then. I will call my body when they make altar call. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is God's power. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the life that God gives, the solution to mankind that God has done. Please, I want to pray with you here. If you have not given your life to Christ, please, can you come forward? Can you come forward? Don't be ashamed of anybody. This is the golden moment. He said, he that confesses me before my father, I will also announce his name before the angels. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your neighbor. I want to pray with you. I can ask you to pray here, but I want it to be a public testament. He said, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before angels. I want you to come out. You see, some of these people you are seeing right now, some of them will see you tomorrow, they will not greet you. If God does not bless you, some of these people, you are looking at some of you met here. Don't look at their faces. I was in Lagos, I was walking, and I went to see my friend who saw one of our secondary school friends in university. I said, look at this person, let's call him from his window upstairs. We're there upstairs. Look at this person, let's call him. He said, shh, you come here and I'll start disturbing him. He was going for a job interview while we were working, already established. And I was in his house, so I can't do any other thing. All of us were together on campus, but I don't want to have anything to do with him again. In life, you are really alone. But you are not alone. There is one that wants to walk with you, and that is the Lord Jesus. Can you come out? Can you come out? Don't have time. I want to pray with you. Can you make that a public testament? I'm waiting. You know, count five. I'll pray. I don't even need to count five. If you want to give your life to Christ, I want to make that passionate appeal again. Can you come out? Can you come out? I have just one person here. My sister, thank you for your faith. Thank you for this. God will reward you. I made the decision and God has God has turned my life around. I live a life of power. It's not just in song. You know what I'm saying? I live a life of victory. I live a life of favor. I'm anointed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Can you go on your knees and talk to your Father? Just kneel down and talk to Him. This public testament, there are so many that are not coming out. There's no problem. Just talk to your Father. Just invite Him into your life.
Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
I want us to take a song, In Christ Alone. I don't know if you who will help me to sing it. I know you have a wonderful choir. Can you project it? You say that one before I land on In Christ Alone.
He's my son and friend.
I want you to pray for your service here. This is the second category of people I want to pray for. If you have made up your mind that you're going to serve God, please, I want you to come and pray at the altar. You've dedicated this service here. You are going to consecrate it to God. Pray that prayer, then I'll now round up the prayer. I want you to come outside here and pray. I'm deliberately calling you outside so that they say we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, so that these witnesses can see. Yes, the angels are seeing it, but I want men to see. See your commitment and your consecration. That this one here, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. Talk to the Lord, tell him you help him. He said, everyone that asks shall they receive. Everyone that asks, they receive. They ask and you shall receive. Seek, you find knock and the door will be open. Everyone that asks, they receive. I want you to ask. They said, I ask life. I ask from him life. Life. Psalm 21. He said, I ask for life and he gave it to me. David was the only king. When he was alive, he enthroned his son. When he was still alive, he put his son as a king. He said, I ask for life. Life, and he gave it to me. And life of death forever and ever. Jesus left life.
of Zacchaeus. What can I do for you? He said, Jesus, thou son of David, that I may see, that I may receive more. This one here, our top consecration to God. Those of you that are sitting can be praying, talk to God. God is available for us. Any area of your life, for your children, for yourself, anywhere. You must fight. My name was not originally David. So change my name to David. And you say, I give you the covenant of David. The word that I just gave you, that gave it to you. That's all I'm going to do. You must fight for your life. There's a knife in the corner of your tongue. You must fight. We are people that fight. We are fighting. In Jesus' name, my Father, I thank you. I use this lady as a point of contact to everyone that is here. Father, I thank you. I made this commitment, this decision, 2003 when I served, that it is you or nothing. It is all of you. All of you, and now you are all over my life. You have established my path. You have established my going. You have blessed me before and behind. You have saturated my life with your goodness. And today, 13 years later, this was made the same commitment. Lord, I join my faith to them, the God that has done it. Lord, I know you have done it for them in Jesus' name. Lord, you uphold them by your wisdom of righteousness. You defend them. The Lord will bless you as a child. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord will surround your life as the mountains surround Jerusalem. Thank you, Father. We still have this commitment. We still have this testament. This is a testament. This is a covenant by sacrifice. You make a covenant by sacrifice. We seal it up in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus. The blood of him that descended that we may ascend. Thank you. Nobody kneeling down here. Nobody will die young. Nobody will die young. Because it is written with long life. Will you satisfy us and show us your salvation? Take your Father. Favor is our portion. Mercy is our portion. Kindness kindness and goodness is our portion. We thank you, Father. And the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. And concerning everyone, oh Father, I shed your blessing upon us. Every one of us in this auditorium, both the ones that are here, even the ones that are not here that are called by your name. Let the blessing permeate all. When you give to all. Does any man lack wisdom? Let it ask God that gives to all men without finding fault. We ask the one, that gives to all without finding fault. We ask for life. Every one of us, oh God, in this counter, those that have known your name and those that have not known your name, nobody will die. This pressure comes. They will experience life. Nobody that stands in this. In this particular street, nobody will come back that my Father in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. I want to appreciate you once again.
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Ask him tonight to put a nation on your heart.